good morning. Camrose Community Church. And this morning, we always have some technical little throwdown here. Maybe. Well, I'll send it that way and we'll get overhead. Well, you know, one of the things that I am grateful for is the church community. There it is, community. That's our message this morning. We're going to look at the idea of community. I started this year out with a toothache, and it was miserable. Anybody ever had a toothache? It's not a fun thing at all. But I am thankful for the community of the church, the church community that prayed for me. I'm thankful for those that stepped in to help me. I thank you for Alan and Marlene Brager, who drove me up to the city so I could get this thing taken care of, because, let me tell you, it's because of that, I ended up in the city. And it's just, you know how that goes. Sometimes this person can't do it, they can't do it right now, but blah, blah. But God took care of it for me, and he blessed me with a wonderful church family that helped when I needed help. Community. Community. You know what? Let's just take a minute. Let's just take a minute and think about the Lord. Father. Heavenly Father. Thank you. Jesus, our Messiah, our brother. Holy Spirit, our counselor, our comforter. Thank you. Thank you that you not only are with us, but that we abide in you, Jesus. We abide together in community. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. We look at this word community. Well, if you pull it up in the dictionary, it means a group of people living in the same place or having particular characteristics in common. We can call them a similar group or a section or a body or a company. Like the idea of a company, a community of nuns, a sisterhood, a brotherhood. We can also look at it as a district, a region, a zone, or an area. Camrose is a community. You might live in the cold weather zone. You might live in a mountainous region or in prairies. Thank you. It also means, you know, population. Population of Canada, you're a citizen of Canada, you're a citizen of Alberta, you're a citizen of Camrose or surrounding community. You're part of a community. Maybe your work environment. Your work environment is a community. Your employment, place you're employed. Place you live, your apartment building. Or your condominium. Maybe you're a part of a like interest community, community of artists, community of designers, sports community, photographing, belong to the Photographic Club of Camrose. We know people who belong there, who belong to that, not belong there, but belong to that. Okay, let's see. Is this going to work? There we go. There we go. Here's our touch scripture this morning. The word became flesh and moved into the neighborhood. The word became flesh and moved into the neighborhood. When we think of community, it really starts back with Jesus. Community about being similar. Well, it starts back before that. It starts in Genesis, not Jesus. In Genesis, we look at, in the beginning, God, that's Elohim. That word Elohim means more than one. It's plural. So in the beginning, Elohim created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty, dark. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Father and Holy Spirit there, but we know Jesus was there. Jesus is a part of Elohim. And we look at John 1:1-3, and the Apostle John writes this: in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He's talking about Jesus. He was with God in the beginning, and through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. Jesus was there in the beginning. And all creation is based on this partnership, this connection, this community. So Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the Trinity themselves, are community. Elohim then creates mankind in his likeness. Now, why did God create mankind? And why in his likeness? Why couldn't he just create the animals and enjoy companionship with them? And there's lots of people out there who would say, I'd rather be friends with my animals than with people. You know, there's one thing. I think I've shared this with you before. It's which is better, a husband or a dog? And of course, the answer is a dog, because he's still happy to see you when you accidentally lock him in the trunk. Of course, I have a little dog, and I love that little guy. He's a great little companion. And I have to say this, there are limits to our fellowship. There are only so much things you can do with your dog. We don't have the same nature or likeness, but it is something of God's creation I can enjoy. So we can enjoy it, but that's not community. Now, I can be a part of a community of dog lovers, and that's what we have, like-mindedness, but the fellowship with one another is what makes the community. So why did God create mankind, and why in his likeness? Well, for fellowship, for connectedness, to continue community. In Genesis 3:8, it says, and man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord's voice as he walked in the garden in the cool of the day. Now, we're going to go on in a minute, but let's just think about that for a second. God was walking in the garden in the cool of the day to what? To have fellowship, to have community with Adam and Eve. God's intention was to be with us, for us to be with one another. He created Eve for Adam because he said, it isn't good for man to be alone. It's not good for mankind to be separate and alone. And then it goes on, and this part just gets my heart. It says, and they hid from the Lord among the trees of the garden. We know that this statement comes after the fall or at the fall. They hid themselves among the trees of the garden. They had fellowship with God. They had community. They walked and they talked together. Can you just take a minute and imagine walking in a beautiful garden that God has put you in, and he's given you instructions to tend the garden, to take care of it. Oh, Papa, come over here and look at this. Look at these flowers. And look at Father, did you see? And Papa's excited to hear what his kids have to say. There's communion and there's community amongst them. But this now is broken. And they hid themselves among the trees. They separated themselves from their community, from communing together, and they hid. And what was their reason? They were afraid. Haven't we become a society, a worldwide, a community that's afraid. Have we allowed others to dictate and we hide ourselves away? We step away from our community, our gathering together. Community. Well, there's community in the family, and if we look through Scripture, you can just see God's heart for community. We know community started with Adam and Eve, or with God himself, but then into Adam and Eve. There's the story of Noah. God didn't just put Noah on the boat alone. He put him with his family. There was eight human beings on that boat. Adam and his wife, and his three sons and their wives, plus the animals. But there was community. We can move on to Sarah and Abraham. Abraham was given directions to leave his family and go, but Abraham wanted more community. And he takes his nephew Lot, even though he wasn't supposed to. It turned out to be a bad decision because of the issues that he had with Lot, but he still loved his family. Then there's the sons of Jacob, who's then called Israel, the children of Israel, who becomes a nation of tribes. And the tribes represent each of the brothers' community. And they each had different purposes in the family. Community was a part of God's plan. Even during the exile, when Israel and the Jews were exiled to Babylon, God wanted them to continue in community. In Jeremiah 29, verses 4 to 7, it says, "This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses, settle down, plant gardens, eat whatever they produce, marry and have sons and daughters, find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there, don't decrease. Also seek peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper." Even in exile, God had a heart for community, to stick together. We know that they had lost their love and their zeal for God and turned their own ways, and this is why they were being exiled. It was a 70 year. They knew how long it was going to be, 70 years. So build houses, plant gardens, get married, have children, marry off your children, but stay in community. And not only that, bless the community you're in. Oops. Bless the community that you're in. Pray for them. Pray for this ungodly governing body. They were in exile. Thank you to those of you, Community Church, who joined together to pray for our city hall, for our people this past week. Pray that it may go well, that you may prosper because the city you're in is prospering. Because you're in a community. Be a part of that community. You know, during this time of exile is the same time that Daniel and the lion's den and Meshach, Rachach, and Abednego are thrown into the fiery furnace. It's the time of Esther. And of course, the prophet Jeremiah. This is all going on, all of those books you read and stories you read during the exile. And then we move into the New Testament with the word that we, as our touchstone this morning, and the word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. Do we recognize what Jesus gave up? Well, and that's continuously being a part of God. He became flesh and blood and dwelt amongst us. Now, when I say he gave it up, I just mean he left it behind. It was still God, God incarnate amongst us. But he became like us in every way. And he moved into the neighborhood to come and share. He moved into the community, folks, to come and share the good news. You know, think about Jesus when he was a boy and his parents lost him. And they lost him because what? Because they were moving as a whole community to Jerusalem and back. And there was lots of people, lots of kids, and I think it was probably Jesus, as any young teen would be, was hanging out with his buddies. And they never thought anything of it. Where is Jesus? He's with his buddies because that's what he does. It's part of the neighborhood, part of the community. And it wasn't until they're a couple of days out when they realize, have you seen Jesus? Oh, I thought you knew where he was. Well, wasn't he with, hey guys, where's your buddy? I don't know, we haven't seen him since, what? Back to Jerusalem they go, and that's where they find him in the temple. They kind of scold him. Why did you do this? Can you imagine? How many, you know what, when your kid is lost and you've hugged him and they're just relieved and whatever, what's the next thing you do? Why did you do that? His parents are no different. But Jesus, it says he went back and he was obedient to them and continued to them. He listened to them. He just said, you know, I was in my Father's house, and why would you look for me any other place? If your kids go missing, is it the first place you think about is coming to the church to look for your kids? But wouldn't it be wonderful if that was the case? Can we pray that way? You know, Ralph has shared with you on Tuesday, we're going to start a Teen Alpha thing in the afternoon following school for some of the kids in our church and their friends. Would you pray for us? We're going to meet every Tuesday, and quite possibly we might be doing a Thursday one as well, just to accommodate some other kids who can't make the Tuesday one. So let's just pray that way. Let's pray. Let's pray for those friends that need to come with. And you know what? I pray that they experience Holy Spirit like they've never experienced before. And boy, once you get a taste of God, where do you want to be? You want to be in his presence. You want to be with the people who experience his presence. Amen. We're going to pray for that. Then again, Jesus, he's a grown man, and who does he have? 12 disciples, 12 close friends, community within his community. But he also speaks of sending out the 70. There's more community. Jesus had close friends in this community, and he had followers, and he was able to build them up and send them out into surrounding communities to share the good news and for them to bless the communities around them. Why community? Why is community so important? Well, let's list, again, this is from the Passion Translation. It's called the community of believers. Listen to what happened at the birth of the church. Every believer was faithfully devoted to follow the teachings of the apostles. It says, let me read that again. Every believer was faithfully devoted to following the teachings of the apostles. Their hearts were mutually linked with one another. Does that sound a little bit like community? Sharing communion together, and we're going to do that at the end of the service this morning. And coming together regularly for prayer. Yes, we can pray in our houses by ourselves, and God hears our prayers. But there is something about coming together and praying together. A deep sense of holiness and awe swept over everyone. And the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. I hope you're experiencing the awe of God. But I'll tell you what, there's something again that happens in the atmosphere. There's synergy in the believers that happens in the atmosphere when we come together. When we pray together, when we believe together in the awe of God and what he is doing, and we see signs and wonders, and the awe keeps growing. And all the believers were in fellowship as one body. And they shared with one another whatever they had. And out of the generosity, they sold their assets to distribute and distributed the proceeds to those who were in need among them. I'm going to pause there upon finding a Kleenex. Camrose Community Church, you are a generous people. You get this. And I just want to bless you in the name of the Lord. Oh, hey, thanks. Because of who is in your heart. Your papa is a generous God, and he's taught you to be a generous people, and you are. And he's going to continue to bless you and increase upon you as you continue to just share whatever you have with those in need. Daily they met together in the temple courts. Daily they met together in the temple courts at church and in one another's homes to celebrate communion. Hey, when was the last time? I love what Ralph shared this morning about let's get together in each other's homes as we feel comfortable doing. But what about sharing communion together in your home? How wonderful. Sometimes we just, you know, we haven't heard this. We've become kind of, if I can put it this way, church, what would we call it? Tradition. This is something you can only do in church. Oh, no, it's not. You are the church. This isn't the church. This time isn't the church. This is where the church gathers, a time we gather. But what about taking communion together in your homes? Mm-hmm. And they daily met together in the temple courts and in one another's homes to celebrate communion. They shared meals together with joyful hearts and tender humility. They were continually filled with praise to God. Whew. They were continually filled with praise to God. You know, January, for me personally, but I don't think it's me alone, is the most blah month. You've come through a busy season, and then you've got cold weather, and spring is so far away. Thank you, Jesus, for today and the warm weather. And we haven't seen a lot of sunshine. So there's, you know, that's that. And I'm kind of weary. I'm putting on the boots, putting on the coat, the scarf, the mitten, going out, starting the car, coming in, taking it all off because we're going to have to wait at least 15, possibly 20 minutes, or in some cases, half an hour to get the car warm enough to get in without absolutely freezing to death, depending on your vehicle. And we're weary. And we're weary. Blah, blah down. But then something happens. Something happens. So I happen to be a part of a home group that meets Wednesday nights on Zoom right now. I'm a part of community church. We have a community back there, the three of us, Ralph and Rebecca and myself, and I have friends. But when we get together, when we get to get together, something happens with the blahs. Now, I'll be honest, sometimes we sit there and talk about the blahs. But then it comes especially Sunday morning. When we come together and our hearts come in to worship. And we sing praises to the Lord. Thank you, Betty, this morning and team. I sing praises to his name. I sing praises to his name. Oh, we lift him up and we glorify him. And we rejoice in him. Something happens. And we are continually filled with praises to God. And enjoying the favor of all people. And the Lord kept adding to their numbers. Adding to their numbers daily those who were coming to life. Okay, I messed up how I read that, but then you guys got the gist, right? When we come together with joy and praise and being filled and meeting one another, when we commune together, when we do community together in the love of Christ, God does something. He adds to our numbers daily. He adds people coming to the Lord. Why community? Because community is attractive. The community of the Lord is attractive. I'm going to start putting some scriptures out here quickly for us to look at. Community. Jesus said, "For where two or more are gathered in my name, I'm there among them." Ecclesiastes says, two, this is real practical stuff, two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity the one who falls and has no one to help them. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm, but how can one keep warm alone? Electric blanket. Sorry, that's a single joke. The one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. In Proverbs, dear friend, a dear friend will love you no matter what. A family sticks closer together in all kinds of trouble. I tell you, that takes place in community. Hebrews, again from the Passion Translation, and the small print there is just from the footnotes, which I thought was brilliant. Discover creative ways to encourage one another. Let's, and I love this, this is the footnote, let's look on one another with the excitement of love. And to motivate them towards acts of compassion, doing beautiful works as an expression of love. This is not a time to pull back away and neglect. And again, the footnote there means that neglect or abandon. And the Greek implies that the person who is doing this is extremely discouraged. If you're extremely discouraged, that's not a time to pull back. But from meeting together, okay? As some have formed a habit of doing, in fact, we should come together even more frequently, eager to encourage and urge each other onward as we anticipate the day drawing. Of course, he's speaking of the day when Jesus returns. From Galatians, carry each other's burdens. In this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. We carry them because we know each other, because we're in community with each other. John, 1 John 1:17, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we will have fellowship with one another in the blood of Jesus. His son purifies us from all sins. From Romans, so in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. And 1 Corinthians, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices in it. Now, you are a body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Again, talking about that community experience. Okay. Developing the connection in community. You know, there are some things that we can do to stay connected and be connected. First is show up. That's what David talked about last week. One of the best things you can do is just show up. Or as I put here, or at least make a phone call. You know, sometimes we sit at home and we wait for others to call us. Why hasn't the pastor called me? Because sometimes the pastor's had to call other people. Or sometimes the pastor just needs a call from you. Let's call. We have a phone book. We have a directory. Let's contact one another. Don't sit in the same place every week. That's an interesting thing. Or, and then I mean it here at church. Or if you do, look around and see, is there someone new? Or someone you haven't talked to in a while? Here's the next one. Don't leave right away. Why is there a mad dash to the parking lot? To think about. And I appreciate, you know what, we have a COVID thing going on, but we have a beautiful day to stand out on the sidewalk. Join a home group or a care group. Small groups of people make it easier to get to know one another, to help develop closer relationships and go beyond just acquaintances. There's so much that happens at that time. So much. Don't reject it. Join in on events or plan, and that should be not an event, it should be an event. Take interest in what's going on in the hearts of others, and then join in by volunteering or helping. Or if there's something on your heart for an event, step out and do it. Right. And I want to speak here to something else that we do here at the church. Well, maybe it's in the next one here. Join in. Be intentional to join those things that are happening in our church family. You are a valuable part of the body of Christ. Don't sit back and wait for others to do it. New believers or seniors or seasoned believers. It's not a young thing, I'm too young or I'm too old, or name your excuse. You're a part of the body and you're valuable, you're needed. God has put you in the body and he has a plan and a purpose for you. One of the things I want to talk about being intentional, and I'm sorry we're going over time. I hope you can grin and bear it. Thank you, Crystal. We'll get to the communion part and back to you. But here's the thing. One of the things that we do is potluck, and I'm just going to be honest and open. There's been, over the years, many years of complaints. Oh, the potluck, blah, blah. People come and they load their plates and blah, blah, blah. We have to decide why we do potluck when we do potluck. We are a community. If you look at Scripture and how many times the story of Jesus is connected with a meal, something happens when we sit down together and eat food together. And when we come with intentionality, when we come and we've prepared maybe for an extra 2 or 3 people, because we know there are those in our community church here that can't either afford to or have the skill set to bring something. But we're going to feed them, because just like a blood relative shows up at your house, you're going to feed them. We're going to feed them because intentionality is, I want communion. This is a part of my body, my community, and they're going to be well fed as long as it's up to me. And not only that, but I'm going to take time and intentionally get to know different people. When we're eating food, our guard goes down. That's one of the things about eating together. So I encourage us, when we get back to that time where we can meet together and do potluck, let's come with the intention of what that time together means. And if we have some complaints or we have some grumblings in our midst, go before the Lord and let him cleanse your heart and your thinking. All right. I'm going to start preaching or something. I don't know. We've come to a part in the service this morning. As I wrap up, we're going to take communion together. Oops. Oh, I'm just going to read this. I forgot I moved this scripture. It says, how truly wonderful and delightful it is to see brothers and sisters living together in sweet unity. It is as precious as the sacred scented oil flowing from the head of the high priest Aaron, dripping down upon his beard and running all the way down to the hems of his priestly robes. This harmony can be compared to the dew dripping from Mount Hermon, which flows down from the hills of Zion. Truly, how wonderful and delightful it is. I'm starting again. To see brothers and sisters living together in sweet unity. As we come to this time of communion, I did a little etymology on the word communion. It means a coming together and a oneness, a sameness. And so we're coming together for Holy Communion. We're sharing a common thing. It is for us to come together, to fellowship together. We have rapport, we have connection, we have connectedness, we have communication. We share the same feelings and thoughts of intimacy when we look at what our Lord has done here. We come with bread and wine that have been consecrated to him. It's about him. It's about Jesus. And I'm going to invite you to come up, and there's at the front, and there's also some at the back, to come and take. And while you are coming, come on up. Just come on up and get. While you're coming, I'm going to read some scripture to you. And again, this is from the Passion Translation. 1 Corinthians 10, 14 and 17 says, "My cherished friends, keep on running far away from adultery. I know I am writing to thoughtful people who carefully consider what I am saying. For when we pray for the blessing of the communion cup, isn't this our co-participation in the blood of Christ? And the bread that we distribute, isn't this the bread of our co-participation with the body of Christ? For although we are many, we become one loaf of bread and one body as we feast together on one loaf." Amen. I'll just wait. And from 1 Corinthians 11, 23 to 25, again, I'm reading from the Passion Translation. The Apostle Paul says, "I have handed down to you what comes to me by direct revelation from the Lord himself. The same night in which he was handed over, he took bread. He broke it. He gave thanks. Then he distributed it to the disciples and said, 'Take it and eat your fill. It is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Eat your fill of the Lord. Eat your fill of the Lord. Oh, and Lord Jesus, we want to thank you. We thank you that you were willing to take those stripes for us that we may be healed and whole. That you were willing to go to that cross and shed your blood for us. Thank you, Jesus. He did the same with the cup. The cup of wine after supper, and he said, "This cup seals the new covenant in my blood. Drink it. And whenever you do this, remember me." To Jesus. And Lord, we celebrate you this morning. We celebrate all that you have done for us. And we thank you, Lord, that your desire was to come and move into the neighborhood. And I thank you, Lord, that you've never left the neighborhood. Your Holy Spirit dwells within us, dwells within this community of believers, and within the community of the church globally. We thank you, Lord. We bless you. And now as we go, I pray over each and every person here this morning that is a part of this community, that they move ahead and into this community in Jesus' precious name. Oh, thank you, Lord. Bless them. Amen. Oh, the prayer box. Let's, as a community, just stretch our hands out towards this. Father, we speak blessing, wholeness, health, and meeting every need that has been placed within this box. You are The powerful name of Jesus. You are the great I am. You are the provision, the healer, the comforter, the one. And we give honor and praise, and we pray for every name and every situation. Thank you, Lord, that your hand is upon it. We give you glory and praise for the good news and the good reports we will hear. The testimony of the believer who overcame by the blood of the Lamb. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Well, we encourage you to stay for second session. We're going to give you about 5 minutes to go to the bathroom, or if you're planning on leaving, that's fine. But if not, take time.